We start with a number of words of wisdom that Rabbi Yoni teaches in other areas. One of the very popular Pirushim of Rabbi Yoni is on Pirkei Avos. So it's good to see just very short excerpts of the teachings of Rabbi Yoni in terms of that we can implement very practically in our lives. For example, we have in Pirkei Avos, at the end of Perek Beis, Reb Tarfon, very famous quote. Reb Tarfon says, "Aloshin lo yalecha amlocha ligmor." Even a song, I believe, with those phrases. Lo yalecha amlocha ligmor. Many people believe in that, and that it's not for you to complete the task. It's not for you to complete the work. What does that mean? It's not for you to complete the work. So Ben Yehuda says, and I quote, he says, a person should not say to himself that I don't have, let's say, a broad capacity, let's say, for studying Torah, or it's not possible for me, let's say, to complete the entire Masechta, to complete the entire text. A person will say, therefore, so what's the point even to start? What's the point even to learn a few paragraphs? After all, I'm not going to be able to complete it. So Ben Yehuda says, nevertheless, he says, a person should not say that. That's exactly what Reb Tarfon is trying to avoid. That a person should not come with the idea, it's either all or nothing. Because every little bit that a person does in any area, that's something very positive, once you take the advantage of doing that. And Ben Yehuda goes on to say, because it's not incumbent upon you to complete it, because whenever a person studies and he toils in Torah, no matter how much you have fulfilled for that little bit, already you have a mitzvah of studying Torah. Of course, the more you study, the more mitzvah you have. But the good is, the point is that every little bit counts and goes a very, very long way, and it's something which is really immeasurable. Another thing is regarding people's attitude in life through dispensing justice. And the truth is, being a judge is not just someone who is, you know, someone who is in a rabbinical position or is a judge when he has an entire of people coming to him and has to decide. But people really, all of us are really judges in our life because we judge people. We judge people, we judge human behavior. And in most cases, the way we assess situations are based upon our own personal, right? Our own personal gears that we have based upon our own self-interest. And based upon our own self-interest, that's usually the barometer that we use, you know, to assess somebody else, whether he's better or worse, is basically, is he good for me or is he not so good for me? And that really what determines my opinion in general. But that's not really the way it should be. So, for example, the pasuk says that lo yisaguru mipnei ish, do not fear a man when it comes to saying the right thing. Don't fear, don't be afraid what anybody else is going to say. Lo yisaguru mipnei ish, and then it says ki hamishpat lelokimhu, because the judgment belongs to Hashem. So Ben Yehuda says the following. Because we have situations here, and this I know very well, fact, there's a situation where you have powerful people, let's say, who are coming to have a case adjudicated. I'm talking about this in the courts for sure that happens, but could happen even sometimes even at a Beis Din also. When somebody's very, very powerful, so many times a dayan, and certainly, you know, in a secular court, become intimidated by a particular person very powerful, because they're worried that this person caused them harm some way, in a roundabout way, due to the influence of a powerful person. And Rabbi Yoni is not talking about a secular judge, he's talking about a dayan. Talking about a dayan that might somehow have reservations. Some reservations of basically coming down with a psak din against someone because out of fear. So he says the following. He says, the pasuk says, "Loisaguru mipneish," do not fear man. And he says the following. The pasuk here instructs us to believe that no harm will come to us. In other words, "Sagur mipneish" means do not be afraid of man. What's the end of the pasuk? "Kamishpat ulikim," because Hashem will make sure that if you say the right thing, you'll be okay. That's what Ben Yehuda ties to the pasuk. Do not be afraid, because when you are saying the right thing and doing the right thing in the eyes of Hashem, so Hashem will stand behind you. Well, he says, "Sagur mipneish," in other words, you have no reason to fear, he says, another human being. He says, so we're instructed to believe that no harm will come because of equitable, he says, dispensation of justice. Because he says, because the judgment belongs to Hashem, which means that no harm will come to you because of it, based upon it. Interesting thing is, you know, of course, when you learn Pirkei Avos, and every step of the way, every statement here is something that gives us a lot of advice. But very interesting the way Rabbi Yoni, one of the great Rishonim, tells tells us in terms of dealing with life, in terms of valuing the opinions of others. That many people, you know, are so conceited that it's either my opinion, nobody else's opinion counts. And Rabbi Yoni goes on regarding a Mishnah in Ovis Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tezayin, Rabbi Gamliel says, very famous quote, Gamliel says, "Say l'charav, every person should seek to have a Rebbe. A person should have a Rebbe, someone that he can confide in, someone that he's able to open up to and to ask him his questions and to ask him his doubts and to clarify situations." Now, the common understanding of a Rebbe is what? Someone who is more intelligent than you, someone who certainly knows more than you, and so on and so forth. But he says it doesn't have to be that way. Because a person can learn from everyone, of course, Ezer Chochem Aloim and Mikalodom. But in terms of Asei L'Charav, listen what he says. Asei L'Charav Rotz Aloimer. What does Rabbi Gamliel say that a person should have and make a Rebbe and take on a Rebbe? She kabel chaveroi l'rav apel pish lo yeh chochem yosem emenu. It's always important to hear what somebody else has to say. And it doesn't make a difference that the other person has to be greater in chokhmah than you or know more than you. Even the other person, matter of fact, has not reached your level of chokhmah. Nevertheless, have someone else also hear it. First of all, somebody else will be more objective to the situation than you are. So Rabbi Yoni very clearly tells us that Asei L'Charav means to have someone to talk to. Have someone to talk, and it does not have to be someone who's a big genius, Dafke. But somebody, of course, is a sensible person we're talking about. And even though you might be a greater Chacham, but there's always a situation where you have to hear somebody else, a picture, people look at things in different eyes, and that is included in the words when Rabbi Gamliel says, Asei L'Charav, Shekabu Chavero L'Rav, Apo Pish Lo Yeh Chacham, Yosef Memenu, even though he may not be a chacham greater than you. In Shari Tshuva, this one we mentioned is in Rabbi Yonah's Pirush on Perek Yovis. And in Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yonah says that Ashrei Yodam Mefachid Tomer, a person should always be fearful that he was not yotze, that when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the fact that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so above and beyond, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, the person should always be afraid that he was not yotze. In other words, we have a tendency to say, oh yeah, I did already, I had to do what I had to do. But if the person really understands the greatness of Hashem, therefore a person should all be worried that maybe he was not yotze, maybe you have to do it better next time, maybe you have to do a little more, and so on. And this should all be the attitude of a person that he never finished the job, that you were never really, because Gabba Kodesh Baruch Hu, considering the greatest and the godless Abayre, so Mamela, of course, you should have done more, you should have done better, and so on. So it's a very interesting thing is that the Ger Rebbe once pointed out, we're talking about the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe once pointed out, he said that with something like 40 years, he had difficulty in understanding a Medrash when Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vosisa Menoira Zohav Torah, and came building the Kelim of the Mishkan. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go ahead and make the Menoira. This is one of the Kelim of the Mishkan. And we find that the Medrash tells that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in understanding, you know, how to construct, how to make the Menoira. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no problem. He says, go to Bezalel. Go to Bezalel, who is the main mumche. He is the expert. He's considered to be the main artisan. Lechetzel Bezalel v'hu yaso iso. Go to Bezalel and he'll do it, he'll make it. So Vomel Bezalel, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Bezalel. He made it right away. And he said, Ger Rebbe always had a problem. He says, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in understanding how to make the menorah? Bezalel was not on the madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu. As great as Bezalel was, and yet Bezalel happened to know right away. He was told what to do, and here he went to do it. So he says, all the years, he says, in 40 years, he says, he had difficulty understanding that Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu does not understand, Moshe does not understand, Bezalel does understand. So he says that the situation took place that his son-in-law, one year, needed an operation, a serious operation, a heart operation. And he was hospitalized in a hospital in Warsaw. And certain complications was a doctor that came highly recommended, and the surgery basically did not go as smoothly as they expected, and certain complications arose, and the Rebbe himself went to the hospital to really discuss with the doctor, he said, the various complications that took place regarding the surgery. And the doctor told him, he said to him, listen, I want to explain something to you, something I believe many years ago, maybe we said it before Shabbos morning, before Musaf, maybe this thought, that the Rebbe said that the doctor gave him this example, this moshul. The doctor said to him, you have to imagine that you have, he says, a great king who had a very, very precious stone. That precious stone was so precious that he kept it somewhere in his safekeeping in one of his storage places, in the treasure houses that the king had. And it just turned out that this precious stone under right? Under keen inspection, under looking under a magnifying glass, under a microscope, Yisrael had a very small blemish, had a small spot, which that takes away from the value of the stone. However, if you have an expert, someone who knows how to work with stones, someone that was he's able to remove it surgically. He's able to remove it to cut it out. The king had his own, the highest, the greatest experts, you know, working that he had on call all the time. He had the access to all the greatest experts So therefore, so he summoned the great mumchim, all the great experts, and to take a look at it, to try to remove that blemish of that very, very precious stone. Lamaita did not. They refused to take responsibility to do it because they were afraid. You know, it's such a sensitive situation that they cut into it, they may crack the stone altogether. So therefore they figured, listen, we don't want to take the responsibility. And therefore they said, you know, it's something that we can't do it. We don't undertake it. What did they do? So they gave the stone to a very simple diamond cutter, a very simple person who did not know to whom the stone belonged to. He just took it, did it, got it, fixed it, perfect. So he's cleaned out to say, you have to understand something, he says. I wanted to know, it's quite simple, because the experts of the king, they knew that this belongs to the king. Should they default, they realize the great responsibility. That creates a nervousness and a tension. And that's exactly the reason why, because they understood the seriousness and the importance of that stone and the job for who they're working for. That itself is great as mumchir, but they're extra nervous. But the simple bamaluch over there, we did not even know that this belongs to the king or anything. So therefore not, so he wasn't tense, he wasn't nervous. If you're not nervous, basically they also would have been able to do it. But he was not a maven of knowing for whom he is doing this job, so he's able to do it without any problem, without any reservations. So the doctor said the same thing. He said, I want you to know, he says, the queen, Napoleon's wife, he said, the fact was that she had a difficult childbirth. So, and all the royal midwives refused to get involved in helping her, in assisting her, in order to be able to have the child born properly, because they were afraid that they may not be matzliach, they may not succeed. What did they do? So they called on to a peasant midwife who did not know who this is, did not know that this is the queen, never saw the queen, and was able to do it very easily. So the doctor said the same thing. I did this operation many times, he says. But this particular time, this is the son-in-law of the Rebbe, very famous, you know, a leader, you know, of thousands and thousands of Jews. It was extra attention, it was an extra responsibility. And sometimes knowing, you know, the achrayus and responsibility of who you're working for, that adds extra attention. And maybe just all you have to do is a little bit of a slip. And that's the cause of the problem. So the Rebbe Nari said, now I understood. The menorah was not just a menorah, you know, that had seven branches. Moshe Rabbeinu knew more than anybody else the secret, the depth, and the kedusha of the menorah. Every side, every secret that is hidden on the base of the menorah, the branch of the menorah, the cups of the menorah, the knobs of the menorah, right? The flowers of the menorah. He knew all the secrets that are hidden. He knew all the secrets that are hidden and the great kedusha beyond the menorah. He therefore did not feel and said, I don't know how to do this. Bezalel was not such a maven, just the opposite. Bezalel was not as great as Moshe, so therefore he was not aware as much as Moshe at the seriousness of every little detail, what it corresponds to in Shemayim, every part of it. He was able to do it, go ahead and do it. And I remember upon him, that's what Rabbi Yonah says in Shara Tshuva, Ashrei Yodam Mefachei Tomid. That first is the person who is always really, right, fearful that he's not Yotze, because he knows that what he's doing is serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So whatever we do in our private life, we know everything that we do is to be serving our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to be mindful who we are serving. And as a result, if we really understand that, so then responsibility we take is much greater to that extent, and we'll try to do always a little bit better, always knowing that we're not Yotze as much as we do for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we go here to Rav Yonah. We are here to Daf Yutes, actually, just repeating a little bit and going further. It's Daf Yutes, it's paragraph Yud Beis, Ois Yud Beis. We started it last week, and we concluded with this. Daf Yutes, Ois Yud Beis. Rav Yonah was pointing out over here in the Shari Avodah. He says, "Vakoyhanem alvi mishos ha'migdosh." You find here amazing words. If you might remember last week, he says, at the time we had a Beis HaMikdash, the greatness of a Kohen and a Levi. The greatness of a Kohen and a Levi. Rabbi Yoni goes on to reiterate, and he says, the Kohanim HaLevim Mishorsei HaMikdash, the Kohanim HaLevim who served in the Beis HaMikdash, Harehem Kamalachei HaShoris. Amazing words. So the Kohanim and the Levim that served in the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, they were human beings physically, but at the same time, they were not, in a sense, like regular human beings, but they were elevated to a point, Harehem Kamalachei HaShoris. They're no different. They are doing down here what the angels are doing in Shemayim. They are Kamalachei HaShoris, similar to the Malachim, to the angels, HaMishorisim Bamorim, that serve Hashem way up high, Soviv HaMerkava, surrounding the divine chariot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, sits on. So you have all the ministering angels, you have all the Malachei HaShoris in Shemayim. So the Kohanim down here, who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, are similar to the Malachim. Similar to the Malachim when Shemayim Shemishapchim Mfarim. They praise, right, and they glorify. Umaroimimim, and they exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umayardim, right, they proclaim His oneness. Umaritzim. They revere Hashem, Magdishim, they sanctify, Mamlichim, right? And they declare Hashem's kingship. Hashem, Hokei LaMelech, Melech Malch HaMochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tremendous, right? The tremendous, Avodas Hashem, the tremendous service that the Malachim do in Shemayim, right? We can't even imagine, we can't even fathom what that means. The Kohanim HaLevim down here correspond to the Malachim in Shemayim. Now, he goes further and he says, that V'Kohanim HaMevorachim Es Yisrael B'Nesiyas Kapayim, right? The Kohanim who, when they duchen, and they bless the Jewish people by raising their hands and using 10 fingers, as we had, the Esseres Boisein with the 10 fingers. You might remember we had Hoyozoichrim, the 10 fingers were not just putting up 10 fingers, because the 10 fingers correspond to the Esseres Spheres, which basically refer to, these are the 10 tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in creation. They correspond with Esseres Spheres, Belima, Shekoilelos, right? Kol Nivra. It focuses on the 10 spheres that incorporate all of creation, which means that the Kohanim, when they bless, they, in a sense, they have an effect on the entire Bria. Their creation was created with what's called the Esseres Spheres, different character traits, different tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu injected in producing this world. So when the Kohanim raised the 10 fingers, so in the 10 fingers and they give the bracha, they're basically asserting it's like a reproduction of creation using the Esseres Spheres, which enhances the entire creation. And remember, we had this explanation because Rabbi Yoina says that we mechalkim as b'yseim kol yad l'shloisha halokim. You have three. Now, the normal way, Rabbi Yisrael, how do you do it? How many spaces do you have? Because you have the you understand, like this, we figure out. Rabbi Yoina says there's three, supposed to be three spaces, because we both have different opinions in terms of how you break up the fingers. Rabbi Yoina says each hand, you break up the fingers to have three. You only have two now. Two spaces, one and one, right? But you go like this, right? Or the Lieberman said he does it like this. The two thumbs like this. You have a space on top of the thumb and a space under. Going like this. You see that? So Ben Yoni says there are three. So there are three spaces. So because together on the two hands you have six. Why six? Because the Malachim have six wings. Again, because the Kohen would do the Avodah correspond to the Malachim. Let's take a look over here. For in Mechalkim, as by saying, they divided their fingers. Each hand was three spaces, three Chalokim. Why? Why Dafka that number? Because three Chalokim, three spaces on one hand, three spaces on the other. Because Heyoisom Kemalachim Amishorsim. Because they are resembling the Malachim who serve. Shenema Bohem, Yeshayanovi says regarding the Malachim, Shesh Kenafayim Leechod. Six wings for each one. So the Kohen therefore corresponds, he says, to the Avodah of the Malachim. It's half of a fella. Now, where does a regular Yid stand? Okay, now you heard about a Kohen and a Levi. What about a regular Yid? Every Yid. Let's go further. Ubebeis HaMikdash, another thing. The Kohen further. So one more thing about the Kohen, one line. Ubebeis HaMikdash HaMevorchel Yisrael. Also we saw the great Madrega that the Kohen reached when he was the Beis HaMikdash, because he was able to utter the Shem the way it's written. We don't do it this way. The Shem is written right, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we don't read it that way. Right? It's written one way, we read it Adna, Aleph Dalet Nun Yun, that's where we read it. But not in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, where you mevarch in Yisrael, they would bless the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, the Shem HaMfairosh, using, right, using the full name of Hashem, expressing it the way it's written. Fine. So that is the Kohen, right? And also he says the Levi who serves on the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what about a regular Yid? What about a regular Yid? Omar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina Mishim Rav Lezer Ben Yaakov comes to Ben Yoin and brings us this Gemara. When a Yid davens, what is the posture that a Yid is supposed to take when you daven? HaMispalel, we're supposed to put the feet together. Why? HaMispalel Tzorach Shechaven Esraglov. So comes the Gemara, says when someone davens, he's supposed to place his feet together. Why? Because that corresponds to the posture that the Malachim Mishamayim, when they stand and they praise Hashem, they stand together, the feet together. Shenema, the Pesuk says, again, this is a Pesuk in Yecheskel, V'ragleihem, he says, Regel Yeshorah. There the Pesuk says that in fact, that their legs were a straight leg. Because when two legs are together, it looks like one leg. When legs are apart, then you see two. When the 2 feet are put together, it's like one. That's what the Pesuk says, the Loshon Yochid, singular. V'ragleihem, their legs, right, plural, Regel Yeshorah, is one straight leg, Regel Yeshorah, because it's put together, right? And, so what's the purpose of that? So why do we have to, when you stand Shemoneh Esrei, why do you put your feet together? Lipnei, Shemispalel hu kemalach ha'shoris, hafla v'felis. That's what a Yid becomes. When a Yid davens, he's like a malach. And we'll soon see, it's not just, you know, an outwardly thing, you know, okay, I'm going to stand that way. A malach stands that way, I'm going to just copy a malach. We'll soon see, we're going to see in the sheet, it's actually much more than that. The behavior and the kavanah and the mindset of the Yid when he davens Shemoneh Esrei is not just the physical posture, but we see it becomes actually transformed in attitude similar to a malach, as we'll soon see. But this is here what Rabbeinu Yonah tells us. Furthermore, if we're trying to compare and trying to show relationship with a Kohen, a Yid who davens, trying to show the relationship that he has with a Malach, guess what? A Yid is beloved more than a Malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more love to a Yid more than all the Malachim. V'omer Chazal, he quotes the Razal, that's in Chum, that's Tzadik Aleph, the Gemara Chum. With Chaviv in Yisrael, Yosef Malach HaShoris. We find that Yisrael, that the Jewish people are more precious to Hashem than all the Malachim. Lefi, we can see that, it's evident. We know we say in the Kiddushah, we say, what does the Malach say? Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Right? Hashem Tzavokos. The Malach cannot mention Hashem's name until he, after three words. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. It's only after three words he mentions Hashem's name. Lefi Shem Malach HaShores Maskirim Es Hashem. The Malachim, right? Do not mention Hashem's name only, La'acha Sholish Tevis. They have to first precede it with three words. Hashem is holy, holy, holy. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Hashem Tzavokos. Right? Hashem of the heavenly hosts. Hashem is Kodesh. Three times Kodesh, then he says the word Hashem. On the other hand, Yisrael. Yisrael have the privilege, Maskir Enoisayach Hashnei Tevis. A Yid is able to bring out and say Hashem's name after two words. Shema Yisrael, Hashem. Shema Yisrael is only two words. Right away he says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So a Yid has the merit to come closer to Hashem and to mention Hashem's name even earlier, even sooner, he says, than a Malach, he says. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that's another indication that what? That Yidin have a closer, a Yidin has a closer relationship and is more beloved. Because Baruch Hu gave more allowance. Because Baruch Hu gave a closeness, an extra closeness to a Yid more than to a Malach. But more than that, V'lo Yoid, all the Malach cannot sing Shira. The Malach cannot sing Shira, which are the songs of praise. They have to wait until the Yid davens down here. Because the Jewish people daven down here, the Malach himself cannot say Shira in Shemayim. The Pesuk says in here, Baron Yachat Koichrebaika. Now the word Baron, Roin means Rino. What's Rino? Singing. Right? Baron Yachat. They sing together. Who sings together? Who sings together? Well, the Pesuk says, Koichrebaika. The stars, right? The stars, he says, the heavenly stars, the stars of the morning. The stars of the morning, in other words, the stars of the morning sing together. Who are the stars? The stars are the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people are compared to the Kochavim. In the morning, the stars get together. The stars get together to sing. What does the pasuk say after that? The next phrase, which means to say is, only afterwards he says, the Bnei Elikim, they can now sound their praise. What are the Bnei Elikim? So further Pazik says, Baron Yachad, Rino Yachad, who sings together? The Kerech Mebaker. So the Kerech Mebaker in the morning, the stars of the morning. The stars of the morning referring to the Jewish people, they sing first, and only then comes the Malachim. So again, it shows again how the Jewish people stand out, have more chashivas than the malachim. And of course, the reason is, if there's a shtikla arichas about that, in the Shevet Sofer, was the son of the Ksaf Sofer, was the son of the Chassam Sofer, the Shevet Sofer implies the Bereshis. And the reason is because a malach is great, of course, if you're going to take, you know, a machine and a gauge and to try to measure holiness. On the one hand, no one can compare to the holiness of an angel. But a human being, within his capacity, his avodah is more kosher, is more important than what a malach can do. Simple, quite simple. A malach does not have a yesh hara. A malach does not have free choice. Does not have bechira. So a malach does not have all the challenges. He does not have the physical desires. He does not have the instincts, right? And the challenges that a human being created out of Ofer and Adoma. So therefore, a malach, in a certain sense, is sort of like a robot, in a certain sense. So a malach, he does what he's created to do. So he does. So he has the highest love of kedusha. This is the way he was created. This is the way he is. He never falls. He never rises. He begins from beginning to end. Is that what Hashem made him? That's what he is. But a human being has the ups and downs in his life, because he has the struggle, he has the tension, he has the Yetzer Tov, which is on the one side telling him to do the right thing. He has the Yetzer Hara on the other side telling him to do the other thing. He has a body which drags him to the physical desires. He has a neshama, right, which drags him to the other side. So there's always continuous tension between the neshama and the guf. And if a person is able to overpower the tendencies of the body, right, and to allow the neshama, the soul, to lead the way, that's a much greater avodah than a malach would ever have. So that's why the Yisrael are more chovev than malach Asharis. So what we want to take a look, Rabbi, so let's take a look at the sheet here. And the interesting is here again, and we learn now shal avodah, but we're going to see another shtikl of Ben Yoina quoted by the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhin, Shal Beis, Perik Yudalut, quotes Ben Yoina in another area. We start with the first item, number one. And we have here the line, V'omru Zal, that's the line we just learned now in Rabbeinu Yoina. Right? Rabbeinu Yoina quoted the Gemara, Chaviv and Yisrael, Yosef HaMalach HaShoris. Right? That what? That Yisrael are more chover than Malachim. Now, so let's take a look at Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim says the following. He says, Kemoshe Kosur Rabbeinu Yoina Zechoin Lavrocha. Nefesh HaChaim says, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, of course the Talmud of the Goyin says, I'm going to quote to you a Rabbeinu Yoina, which is in Masechtas Brachos and the Perek Ein Oimdin. Right? And the Gemara says the following over there. The Gemara says, what is the posture that a person takes when he davens Shemoneh Esrei? Now this line we had a few weeks ago, HaMispalel Tzorech Sheyitein Einov Lamato V'Libo Lamalo. What does that mean? When a person davens, his eyes should be focusing downward and his heart upward. Now does it mean physically that his eyes should be looking down? Does that mean that I have to have my... And what does it mean my heart should be up? What do you mean my heart should be up? That's what Gemara is saying. When a person davens, Ein of Lamato, his eyes down and his lev Lamalo. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, V'zel Yishoina HaKodesh Shom. So quotes the Nefesh HaChaim. Liz Rabbeinu Yoina says, what does the Gemara mean? HaMispalel Tzorech Sheyitein Ein of Lamato V'lib Lamalo. Kloima, these are now the words of Rabbeinu Yoina. Kloima, this is what it means. Sheyach Shabaliboy, when you're going to stand Shemoneh Esrei, Kilo Oyer V'Shamayim. When a person stands Shemoneh Esrei, you have to imagine you're not down here in this world. When you're standing Shemoneh Esrei, you have to imagine you're standing in heaven. You're not down here. Tzorech, he says, Sheyach Shabaliboy, Kilo Oyer V'Shamayim, V'yose Meliboy, Kol Tanuge Oylam Azeh V'Chol Anoy Saguf. Any inyan, any pleasure, worldly pleasure, you have to remove it from your mind. Anything that a person, right, thinks about, that a person enjoys in this world. A person, when you're davening, you remove yourself from tanuga el mazev, from worldly pleasures. You have to imagine you're not in this world, you're in Shemayim. In Shemayim there is nothing, right, that resembles, that has anything to do with tanuga el mazev. You're totally a spiritual being. When a person davens, he has to imagine himself he's in Shemayim, and he removes himself any thought or any connection with Tanugei Olam Hazeh and any Hanoi Saguf. Ki'inyin she'omru hakadmonim, as the early Chachomim have said, if a person wants to be mechaven properly when you daven, if you want to be mechaven properly, right? If you want to pay attention properly, pshayt gufach ma'al nishmosoch. Remove your body from your neshama. Put out the measure of kulay neshama. When you're davening, you have to imagine your kulay neshama. So, that's machshava number one. That's machshava number one. A person has to imagine that he is in Shemayim. But he's very optimistic when you get to that machshava. So now what's the next step? When you reach that machshava that you're standing in Shemayim, what do you do next? Yachshev gam kein kilo oimid bebeis hamigdosh ulamato. That the same time you also have to imagine that you're standing in the Beis Hamigdosh. So it's as if to say, Rabbi Yisai, one foot is in Shemayim and the other foot is in the Beis Hamigdosh. Either way, you're not in this world. One foot is in Shemayim, and at the same time, you have to imagine you're in the Beis Hamigdosh. Bifnei shayidezeh. Right? When you have this frame of mind, so what it means is, Ein of Lamato of Libra Lamalo. Libra Lamalo means what? That you're in Shemayim. Libra Lamalo. You have to imagine that you're in Shemayim. Ein of Lamato, and you're standing in the Beis Hamikdash. So totally you are separating yourself, right, from the confines of this world when you're down in Shemoneh Esrei. Now, if you take with the next item, Nefesh HaChayim, so now he brings another shtickle Rabbeinu Yoyne. Listen, another shtickle Rabbeinu Yoyne. This, you have an idea how Rishonim davened. You have an idea how Rishonim davened, the attitude. Halavai, we have a shtickle inkling. At least we should know. You know what that means? V'zehu gamkei ma'shehevi Rabbeinu Yoyne. Nefesh HaChayim continues. This is also Rabbeinu Yoyne brought down b'shem HaKadmoinim. We said before, pshoit gufach mal nishmosoch. When you're davening, remove your body from your neshama. What does that mean? What do you mean, remove your body? Hainu, shekol kach, right, to the extent, yehaguf v'inyonov v'tanugov nivzebeinov nimos. When you're davening, a person should imagine, right, that he's in Shemayim, that Pasha, that he is repulsed, he's revolted, he says, at sheyeloi tshuka atzuma lahachshiv nafshim neged. To have such a desire, he'll be like attracted. He's attracted to the most attractive thing. Shetei kol teshukas nafshoi, his desire, his entire desire and being will be to connect with Hashem. Beboiroi is created, his Baruch Shemayim, ki ilu ein about guf. So he has no guf. Eloke echod mitzvah hamoraim, like he's one of the malachim of the heavenly hosts, hamisham shim b'maraim, who serve Hashem up high, mufuroshim u'mevdolim ekol inyon ha'olam hazeh. What do you see over here? Mamisha, we had a moment ago in Shara Avoida. In Shara Avoida, Rabbeinu Yoyne is saying that why does a person with Dav Shem Nasi keep your feet together? You keep your feet together like a malach. This is not just figuratively, because it means the frame of mind should be the same thing. That way we see now in the Nefesh HaChayim from Rabbeinu Yoyne. That way we see it's not just figurative, just put a posture, just take like a statue, put your feet together. No! That idea is because that's supposed to create a frame of mind that a person becomes cool in the Shema. Pshayt gufach, separate yourself, remove yourself from this earthly being, imagine that you're in Shemayim, and you're cool in the Shema, as if you had no guf. Of course, it's a tremendous madrega. At least we have an idea how much dedicated. And then he becomes, in other words, as he says, he becomes mamish like a malach. Because if you have no guf, then you're serving Hashem mamish like a malach. As he says again, the lotion, ke'echod mitzvah hamorim. So I'll go take this further. Next paragraph. He says, v'zeh. He says, zeh kavonas Rabbeinu Yoyne zechron avrocha. Says, the nefesh ha'chaim. This is what Rabbeinu Yoyne means. She'yach she'beliboy, Rabbeinu Yoyne said, a person should imagine like he's oimid v'shamayim. When he dam shumanesu, he should imagine he's standing in heaven. What does he mean? Hane she'yargish ba'atzmoy. He should feel that all the physical, desires, all the physical attractions of the goof become disintegrated. Should offer an adoma. After all, he is offer an adoma. He should remove himself from that. And all of his, right, all of his tendencies and his feelings should be binyan nefesh. The kashra to connect. Bishosha in the Shayrish, because after all, where's the Shama? Where's the Shayrish? The root of the Neshama is in Shemayim. Mahava Rabbah. He should have such a love now to serve Hashem If you flash in front of his eyes one of the greatest pleasures of this world, he would push it, he'd be revolted, he says. If you put echod metanugo elam azeh, shenafshe shalod mechamdus, on something that the nefesh really desires, hoyemoyesba, he would be revolted, tachlis hamoyes v'sinim. Imagine, we can imagine, a malach, when he looks down to this world, right? He looks down to this world with disdain, because he cannot imagine the physical lowly pleasures of the lowly body. He says the physical base desires that a human being has, a malach cannot imagine it. In a certain way, of course, when a person is ready to daven before Kodesh Baruch Hu, you should imagine he's in Shemayim. That if he's in Shemayim, then he's only attracted to the spiritual. The physical doesn't have any meaning at that point. So if you flash in front of him the biggest pleasure of this world, he'd become disgusted with it. Because at this time, I'm not an earthly being at the time. When I'm standing before Hashem davening, I become a heavenly person. I become Amish, I become similar to a Malach. That is the idea that we find here, as we say, in the Nefesh HaChayim B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the idea. So we're standing Shemanesa, put your feet together like a malach, not like because just standing like a malach. The idea is you have a frame of mind. You imagine that you're in heaven. You're not really down here. Yes, you're down here in the base of Migdash if you're down here. That's the connection. But you're not now in this physical world around here. You have separated, you have removed your guf. Pshayt gufach, as he says. Remove the body. Ma'al nishmosach. In other words, the bodily urges should become bottle, should become nil. He says the soul, the neshama, should be the primary thing. It's not an easy thing at all. This is a madrega. This is something has to work at. Sometimes many, many years, if ever. But these are the great people who did. They succeeded. So let me just show an example how this works. And turn the sheet to the right side. You see number 4, and this is a number of lines of Reb Shimshon David Pinkus. There's a sefer called Shiorim B'Tfilah. We mentioned him a while back. Reb Shimshon David Pinkus was a great mashpia who basically had a lot of influence on a lot of people. And unfortunately, a terrible accident that happened to him and his family, his wife and many others, got killed in a car accident quite a number of years ago. And since then, hundreds and hundreds of tapes have been transcribed and many sfarim have been printed on the Yom of Shabbos and every aspect in the areas of Avodas Hashem. All right, we'll take a look here at a few lines regarding tefillah, regarding davening here. Sefer Shorim B'Tfilah, it's in the Psiche. Okay, so he said the following. One of the foundation, he says, to be matzliach in davening, to be succeed in davening properly. So he says the way it has to work is going step by step. The way it works is that you keep growing and growing higher and higher, which means you have to have input. You have to want to try to grow. Lishtadl means you have to have input. You have to be mishtadl. You have to put the effort. La'alois uliskadimbo. Badroge madrege means step after step, shlav after shlav, level after level. Now he says the following. He says an amazing thing. He says someone goes to a yeshiva, right? You can't imagine someone. So when a person starts to learn, right, so he starts Aleph Beis. But he comes to the next grade, he's not going to remain by Aleph Beis. He's going to grow from Aleph Beis, right? From the Aleph Beis to become words. Now he's going to read words. And then he's going to continue reading words that you understand. And he goes from Chumash, he goes to Rashi, and so on. So when it comes to learning Torah, we do find, right, that you continue to grow all the time, he says. He says, but Amal HaTorah, when it comes, right, in toiling, right, when it comes regarding learning Torah and studying Torah, poshutud, there seems to be quite poshut to everybody. Shamator. Now, in the area of learning, it seems to be poshut. We know what the goal is. The goal is to gain more knowledge every time. That seems to be common knowledge that everybody seems to understand without difficulty. When it comes to learning, the topic of learning, poshutu, it seems to be very poshut, simple. Shamator, here that the purpose is, lalois, he says, Madrega ka madrega, to go step after step. And that's called Ikra Vodiseinu. For example, Shraimi Shalom at Kamishon. Imagine somebody who learned in a yeshiva for many years. If somebody learned a yeshiva for many years, imagine he goes through the system 4 or 5 years. At the end of the 4 or 5 years, he only knows as much as the day that he came to the yeshiva. He'll recognize that he failed. It's a failure. If he spent 4 or 5 years in a yeshiva and at the end, you're not a step further than when you came in, you don't need to have a big Rebbe to tell you that you failed. So that everybody understands, right? Again, Shamisha Lomat Kamishonim. Well, the Besoif Moises Atzmon, at the end, he finds himself, Boise Madrege, he finds himself in the same Madrege, Bahavone, Bahamkus, Ubidis Atoire, Kamoibesh and Ichnas, Likishla and Yechoshe, Dene Atzmoi. He'll consider it to be a failure in his eyes and the eyes of his friends. The same thing is true also. If you daven today, the same way that you daven when you became Bar Mitzvah the first time, you're a failure. Supposed to grow in davening also. The same way that you grow in learning, you understand, right? You go through 5 years, and you're the same madrega when you started, you're a failure in the area of davening also. If you daven year after year in the same way, you didn't grow, it's the same way. Look what he goes on to say. Kein hador b'tfilah, gambo, also in tfilah, tzorech la'alois, ulitzkadeim, right? Ulegodol miyoyim liyoyim, and to continue growing, mizman lizman, umishona lishona, from year after year. The tzorech liyoyis, it has to be, she'ein adoyim b'tfilahs bokhr b'shir aleph, the bokhr starts shir aleph, right? He's on a low level of davening, he's shir aleph, he's the first, right? A bokhr, who's shir aleph, his davening cannot be, right, he's a tzoyer maschil. Litzilus bocher b'shir dalit cannot be the same like a bocher who's already in shir dalit. She miskadim yoyser yoyser im havanosoi. Right, as he moves on to higher grades, so in learning his havana becomes more. The sugya sagimara. But in our time, he says how sad it is. It's very sad. He says kama olav hamatziv. How sad the matzav is that a bocher goes into shir rishim yeshiva, when he goes into the first year in yeshiva, and he leaves yeshiva after many years, the yoytzach ha-kamishonim shall his gadol's belimid. He becomes the Talmud Chacham, but his davening is the same way that he came in. In learning is the Talmud Chacham, right? He now has many, many sugis hashas under his belt, many mesachs on the belt, but in davening he does not move one order, not a more, did nothing. He's in the same madrig at all. How sad it is, he says. He comes out, maybe a shikol talmud chochem after many years. Or umazah on the other side, b'tzila yoytzu k'moy b'yayim shenichnas. But davening, the yeshiva did not do anything for him. He says, loy gerua mizeh, v'kol kach lomo, mipne she'ein oisim eisik, me'inyin avoyiz atzila, because avoyiz atzila is not b'chlal, it's not on the agenda. Avoyiz atzila should be an agenda. Avoidus Atfila should be your agenda the same way that you go to learn, the same it should be Avoidus Atfila. We don't see a need, and to be able to grow. That's the Nekudah. And it was said about, one of the Mekoymas in Eretz Yisrael, which was said about, for example, there's a difference, there are some yeshivas who have to concentrate on davening also. There's concentration on davening. And they say the difference, not every yeshiva davens. Of course it davens. Right? But the difference is like this. You have yeshiva, you learn. Now, when it comes lunchtime, you have to break for lunch, so you break for lunch. Well, you have to daven, so you break for davening. The other yeshiva is that you don't just break for davening because you have to davening. You try to be mechanic for davening too. In other words, the yeshiva, in the same way there's learning, davening is not because you have to break for davening, so you daven. You break for lunch. No. You break for davening not because you have to daven. Of course you have to daven. But the same way that you're mechanech, people have to learn, you go through a yeshiva system, there are mekoymes that have set an agenda, you have to be mechanech out of daven. And that means that you have to work at it. You have to learn the svarim that are meoir you how to daven. You have to try to be mechaven and to really to pay attention and to make it an agenda, to make it that this is something important for you. And certainly, as we have seen, talking from the Rishonim, from Rabbi Yoina, who speaks about the high madrega that one is expected to reach one day, right? It should be like a malach who serves a Kodesh Baruch B'shas when you're standing on this world. Of course, we understand that there is a long road ahead, but at least we understand that there's a need to better ourselves. And then we ask ourselves a question: how can we daven? It doesn't seem Kodesh Baruch does not seem to respond to our tefillas. Well, maybe it's because we ourselves don't give chashivas to our tefillah. If we ourselves don't give importance to our tefillah, why should Hashem give it importance? If you yourself don't, are you not machshiv your own tefillah? So of course, we are really who determine the efficacy and the quality of our tefillah as well. So I want to show you some very acute words of Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Shuvis, look, turn the sheet, number 5. Rav Moshe talks about the problem of raising generation if people want a good time. Rav Moshe uses that word. In Yiddish it's called machan aleben. I don't make an aleidin. Rav Moshe said that's a problem, and part of the things being mechanic children, raising children today, Yeah, of course you have to enjoy life. But life is not to have a good time per se. Life is to do the right things and to enjoy also doing the right thing. But that needs education. That needs teaching. And that is really what the people go astray. Adults go astray because starting up as children is the way. They always needed to have what they thought they need to have. They're always given what they thought they have to have. And then that what happens is this just grows within you. And then it comes to people who have challenges, and at the end is that they do the wrong thing. And they get into a lot of trouble. Let's take a look. Rav Moshe says it very clearly in the Gemara, Moshe Chel Gimel Siman Ayin Aleph. Let's take a look. V'inim im dinoseinu, says Rav Moshe, in our countries. Be that we are blessed, right? We're reaching, living in a country which has a lot of blessing. People make a good living, many of them. Not saying that people don't struggle either. But it's a country with a lot of blessing. We have a lot of opportunities. I mentioned many times that my father told me he grew up in Europe. He came by mistake, didn't have his own film. And my grandfather, his father was not able to afford to buy him. My father said his bar mitzvah, he davened in his brother's tefillin. He davened my brother's tefillin, he said. He davened his brother's tefillin. Father couldn't afford it. And not only that, he says when he got married, unfortunately, a Zivik Rishon, he lost a wife and five children. So this is already Zivik Sheni. But he said when he got married the first time, he said he himself, he says, raised the money to buy his mother a wedding dress. His mother couldn't have. So if you think about the poverty that people had, people struggle here too, but you can't compare to the situation the way that it was in Europe. So Moshe Taki said, "B'minaseinu meroiv abrocha, shenot Hashem Yisbarach, yeshrotzim v'tayv v'gidoy la'nois olam hazeh." There's so much here, there's so much pleasure available. There's so much pleasure available and lurking around in every corner. B'chol ha'tanugim shekoydim was a good time. He says, we call it good time. He writes it out. Good time. He says, "Shegamze dover hamekalkel esodem," and that really, these two words, "good time," it ruins a person ma'oid. Why? Because then he gains a habit of wanting and needing, no restraint, no training to curb himself, to restrain. Shemalgel es Yisrael, because what he does is he habits his yetzahara l'savis l'dvarim shein tzorach behem. He gets into the habit to desire things that he doesn't really need. Umashches medoysov, and it ruins his midoys, his character traits. Atchenehepach l'chayiro atkedekach l'pemosh loshem. He turns mommy into a wild animal because I have to have what I have to have. But it doesn't start that way. It starts wanting things that technically are permissible, but not everything that's permissible means you have to have. So he says, "Metchilim mevakeish letavoyisov." It starts out that he wants first either is a davar heter ukedayme, is a davar heter medume, something that he believes. Ukeshiyevsher, and then later on when he can't have that, lo yimna av beiser, and then he will not hold back even, right, to pursue that which is also to the point. So now when he does something wrong, right, a person has a tendency to justify himself. How can he justify doing wrong? Well, they don't have to deny Hashem, say Hashem never prohibited this, Hashem never said this, is also Hashem this. Because a person wants to always justify himself. He wants to show that he's in the right. So ad shalahayt zdik myself, because in order to justify his actions, nasa gam lekoifer chazer sholem. Becomes a koifer, denies partially what Hashem... Ukamamoram, as Chazal say, lo'ovnu Yisrael avaydizorah, what brought the Jewish people? Right? What brought them to serve idols? Because you can't believe in Hashem and lead an immoral lifestyle. But if you have such a desire and you have such an attachment to live an immoral lifestyle, then you have to deny Hashem. Then you have to deny Hashem. That's what they did. So the Torah is very makpid that you make sure not every taiva that's mutter means that you have to have. Not every desire that's mutter you can have. Especially when it comes to raising children. As we see, medin sayre moire. What's a sayre moire? What's a rebellious child? A rebellious child basically is what? He's indulging in the pursuit. He's indulging in pursuit of worldly pleasures. Too much and beyond. So therefore we're able to predict where's this going to lead. Where's it going to lead? This is the rebellious child. We see where it's going to lead. Shall ribu taive the heter? Right? It was ribu taive the heter. He's drinking too much wine. Well, okay, kosher wine. He's eating too much meat. Kosher meat. So, but it's ribu taive the heter. Chayves ha-toyre. The Torah said that what? He's guilty. Mishum shezer yobi yoyse, because the Torah predicts that this type of a lifestyle is only going to lead from better to worse, from worse to worse. Lebesoyv li listen, he's going to become a robber, he's going to become a murderer. Right? And also the gam koifer b'chol ha-toyre. So Mamela, so Rav Moshe says, the gam alzeh, tzrichim ha-moirim la-shgiach. So the moirim have to be mashgiach, which means they have to supervise. Ulalam et ha-talmidim. And to teach the talmidim, ech li-snaig, how to behave. Ulidaber moirim, and always to point out, to teach them, b'ginus bal ha-toyre, to show how shameful it is. People who cannot control their urges. This has to be taught to children. And also, on the other hand, to praise those people who do the right thing. Praise the righteous people. Show children how to, you're praising the righteous people. And also to show how pleasurable when somebody learns how to curb his taiva and to do the right thing. This ultimately will give the person a sense of stability in the highest hanoah. He'll be praised by that. And this is to use the proper words. And this is what it was. This is what I said. So you have to start young. This has to start young. If you don't start young, it becomes a habit. And it's very, very difficult to kick a habit when, as a young age, this was not trained. And then when you become an older person. So these are all basically, these are the halachas. But Rav Yonah gives us that this becomes an exercise. Every time you daven three times a day, you're given the opportunity to focus, to remove yourself from worldly pleasures, and to realize, to focus on what's the real thing, what's the purpose in life, and to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you really have at least three times a day to be able to peshoit gufach, to remove yourself, he says, to remove yourself from the pursuit of ninyonim of Olam Hazeh, to remove yourself from Olam Hazeh. And hopefully this becomes incorporated. When you're not davening, this becomes your lifestyle. This becomes your lifestyle to understand what is the right thing, what is the purpose of life, and what is the tachlis of life. One more small nekuda, very cute nekuda. And that is because we had Rabbi Yonah saying, brought down the pasuk Bron Yachad Koich Beboiker, that singing in the morning, the stars of the morning sing together. That is, the Jewish people are compared to stars. Do you ever stop to think, why are the Jewish people compared to stars? Why stars? Why dafka stars? So we have the Rashi in Chumash, very beautiful vart over here, as we're going to see. The Elish Moish Bnei Yisrael Aboyim B'Sraimo. Rashi tells us, even though the Jewish people already counted while they were alive, even after that, Hashem keeps counting the Jewish people. He keeps counting them. Why? To show the love that Hashem has to them. The Jewish people are compared to stars. Shemoytzion, Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes out stars and puts them back. Bemispor, with counting, Hakadosh Baruch Hu counts the stars also. Ubishmoysom, every star has a name as well. So we see that there is a connection between the Jewish people and stars. Why of all the, right, of all the design, all the things that we find, right, in all the, why dafke stars is singled out, that the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, are compared to stars? Ma'wa Dimyon, ben Bnei Yisrael ben HaKrechovim, ubechlal, and in general, ma pesher ateva, what does it mean? Achiba hamiuchedes, what does it mean? There's a special love. Because Baruch has the stars. What kind of, you mean you love stars? What do you love? What kind of love? Because Baruch created everything. We have special love to stars. He loves the Jewish people, similar to the stars. What kind of achiba is after stars? What achiba is after stars? So Ryan Musari Omuk Venifla, a beautiful Musari Gethot, Omar Kacha going to blade box. This is Rosh Yeshiva's Detroit. He said a very beautiful thing. And the idea is the following. We find, we're going to just skip this next paragraph. We find the following. Let's take a look. Ube'emes, let's go skip the paragraph, go to Ube'emes. Ube'emes ma'al siba l'chibe klapi kechovim. What is the siba of the love that Hashem has for the stars? Rabbi Isai, why were stars created? Do you remember a little piece of history? Why were stars created? You know what happened? In the beginning you had the two luminaries, the Shnei Moiris HaGdolim. You had the sun and the moon. What happened? The moon spoke up. What did the moon say? The moon said, you can't have two kings. In other words, the moon wanted that the sun, right, that the sun should be lower. So the moon said, you can't have two kings serving at the same time. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, you become smaller. So you're right, you become smaller. So now the Bukum became smaller, and now you can imagine the moon had a lot of tzar, a lot of pain. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? To appease the moon, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the stars. So the purpose of creating the stars was to remove pain from another part of the Bria. That's what a Yid is. A Yid is compared to the stars. The tachlis of a Yid is to feel the pain of another Yid and try to remove that tzar.
That's why Yisrael Nimshel Kechovim. Beautiful heart. Look over here. He says,
because the time of Bris Olam, Nivru Shnei Hamoiris, the Goydel Shove, right? The two luminaries were created the same size. Ulam Halam Vono Toyano. The Levona came and the Levona Taina Chi, Efshir Yishnei Malachim, Yishtam Shu Bekesar Echot. He can't have two kings with one crown. So therefore she was punished. But like I've mentioned, so the moon was punished in Ismaito Beyachas Lashemish. She was reduced. Ubechdei lefayis is data, right, to appease the moon. Nivra kechovim. Bria kezoi, such a bria. She calls Siba, the whole Siba of her kium, is lefayis azulis, is to appease, right? It's to appease, to take away the sorrow of another person. Zoyche lechavivis yisayra isla kodesh baruch hu. The whole messias of the kechovim is to remove tsar from someone else. That is zoyche to tremendous love by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mikan chibosoi shal Kodesh Baruch Hu lekechovim, and that's what Chazal mean. Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu moynes yisol kekechovim ki abhem nivru. Why was the yid created? By the way, in the hagdom of nefesh achayim, the hagdom of nefesh achayim. So of itzel v'lojener, the v'lojener said that he heard from Reb Chaim, the son of Reb Chaim, that my father Reb Chaim says, why nivru ha'odom? Right? Famous words that all the Bala Musa quote. But in every other man was not created, not from Zich, not from self. To be able to make a contribution for others. That's the idea of the Kechovim Rabbi Yisai. That is the whole thing. So let me just tell you that what happened was a Maisa Shoy when the great Rosh Yeshiva, Moshe Mordechai Epstein was Nifter. The great Rosh Yeshiva, of course, the Rosh Yeshiva Slobodka and Hebron, and he was the one who, of course, that Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, and we all know what happened in 1929 with the Yeshiva Brachim and Hebron. We know what happened. So Ramesh Shemorche, he passed away. His time came and he passed away, and the Levaya was and Har HaZeisim, Mount of Olives. That's where the Levaya was, and the Har HaZeisim. So you can imagine that all of Yerushalayim came to that Levaya, where the Gor Lador, where the Grace Rosh Yeshivas, you know, was Nifter at the time. And there was one Talmud who was specially saddened at that Levaya. A Talmud of Yeshivas Hebron. He felt the pain of the Rosh Yeshivas Petira passing more than anybody else. And the reason was, you know why? Because his wedding was planned for that night. And Yeshiva Brochim was supposed to come to dance at his chasana. And it's that day, Erev, the day of his chuppah, that day the Rosh Yeshiva passed away, and that night he's supposed to get married. There was one person who never forgot. And that was Avram Shmuel Finkel, who was the Manal Ruchni of Yeshiva Chevron. As they covered the caver, before they left, still standing around the caver of Rav Moshe Mordechai, and after they had spayed him, so Avram Shmuel spoke up and he said the following: we just finished fulfilling a mitzvah of a chesed shalemis. A chesed shalemis is a chesed that you do with the deceased. Now we have a chiyuv to do a chesed in machayim. There's a chasana tonight. This levaya cannot shtet at chasana. We all go to the chasana and we have to be mesameach chasana. That shows the boy says, Sol anim shul kechovim. We don't allow another yid to be in tsar. If we can do anything to alleviate that tsar, and even we have our personal tsar, we don't let that stand in the way. And we have the hargosha, we have the feeling, and of course, therefore, aptly, that's what a yid is all about, and that's what a yid is compared to kechovim.